Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
All right. Don't you love technical difficulties? Yes. You know what's crazy? I'll confess this to you guys. I woke up this morning fully planning that the side screens were not going to be working. If you're watching online, you're like, what side screens? Yeah, those side screens that you don't watch, but they were not going to be working. We walked in this morning and we got a text that said, hey, they're working. They're working. You know, it's crazy. Technology just happens and just life just happens, right? And so I'm just glad that you guys are here this morning. We're kicking off a brand new series, and I just want to be upfront about this. Like, the last couple of series that we've done, this year, have been really, they've hit home, you know? Not like I've enjoyed them. I mean, I've enjoyed my stuff, but it's like people have talked about them a whole lot, and I'm like, God, what are you doing? And so the last series we did, anybody remember it? If you're from, if you've joined us the last couple of weeks, you know what it was? It was bumbling through love. Yeah, it was a relationship thing. And before that, we talked about the things we need to quit. And so today, we're kicking off a brand new series called Why Jesus, man? Why Jesus and not the other options out there? And the reason why I want to talk about this is because, not because these are just easy conversations to have. They're actually very hard conversations. I mean, the love series was hard. The one before that was tough for me. And this one is really particularly personal to me because I get asked that question all the time. Yeah, if you don't know, I grew up Muslim. And so people are like, hey, yeah, so what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a pastor. They're like, really? Yeah. And then I tell them, you know, that I converted from Islam to Jesus. And they go, why Jesus? Why Jesus? And then I got to tell them all my story and all that. And usually the conversation goes well, but it's always filled with so many questions. Like so many, like, oh, what about this, though? What about that? And so what I want to do is I want to take the next 7 weeks and talk about why Jesus, why Jesus. And for some of you, you're like, you know what? I'm loving this. Why? Because you grew up in a kind of a fairy tale faith and you're disenchanted with it now. You know what I'm saying? You're like, this is going to be perfect. It's going to be all great. And then you realize, oh, people are mean. Yeah. And they're Christian. Yeah. Yeah. They're like nicer Buddhists out there than Christians. That's a fact. You know what I'm saying? I mean, then you realize, oh, well, when you grew up, you had this childlike faith and it just does not compute. It, like, it doesn't transfer over. So you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I believe this stuff anymore. Maybe some of you grew up in a faith where you found yourself going, you know, why are people talking about freedom in Christ and they're so controlling? Like, why are people talking about this relationship with Jesus, but they're all about, like, the religion? Like, you, it's borderline abusive. And some of you grew up, maybe, in a very controlling, in a very abusive religion. And honestly, you get triggered. You get triggered. Somebody will say something, maybe I'll say something, and you're like, I don't know about that. Because we've got people here going, I don't know. I don't know about this faith. Maybe you grew up in a faith that basically said that that everybody's the same. Everybody's just the same. Everybody's trying to figure this stuff out, and it doesn't matter what you believe. Maybe you grew up with no faith. So regardless where you land on this, or you're like, you know what? I just want to know about this Jesus thing. Because I've always had faith. And I'm kind of good. I don't have any sad story or anything like that. But the truth is, I don't know why I believe what I believe. I just don't know. And the reality is that as you get older, you find yourself in a place where you're like, I don't even know why I do all the things I do when it comes to my faith. Like, why do you do what you do? Like, what are you kind of looking for? I got recently introduced to this thing that's changed my life, okay? I don't know if you can see this. This is called Mio, okay? Do you guys know what Mio is? Okay, make some noise if you know. Okay, make some noise if you use anything like Mio. Okay. So I would drink a decent amount of water. Well, not really. But after I got introduced to this bad boy, it's basically, if you don't know, what is it? It's flavor, right? It's a little bit of flavor, just a little something for your water, and it's delicious. They got all kinds. And so I just like, I'm on just a little squirt in here. And my friends, this is delicious. Let me hold on one second. Yes, I've been drinking so much water, so much water. What I realized is when I got introduced to it, I only thought there was one flavor. But no, friends, the world opens up. There's so many flavors. But then when you go to get something like this, and not just this company, but other companies make all kinds of stuff. Like some of you guys use Gatorade stuff. There's also, what's another famous brand? It's slipping my mind here. Crystal Light? Crystal Light? No, that seems like it's really poison. But this is not. Right? You're like, Crystal Light? Really? You're doing that? No. But what I realized is like, I found it on Amazon. Now, have you ever been on Amazon before and you go down the Amazon hole? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? You get lost in it. See, people are pointing fingers here. Look at that, right? You're like, I've done this. I mean, I'm looking for this. 45 minutes later, I'm looking at something else because they're like, hey, you might want to try this. Hey, what about this? Your best friend thinks this is like, and then I go, what was I looking for? I don't even remember what I was looking for. I got to search my search history to find out what I did. And there's like 64 things in my cart. And Ashley's like, what are you putting this? There's like this patio furniture and there's like random stuff for food. I'm like, what are you doing? You know what's funny though, is I think that some of us, when we just kind of keep doing what we do, we go down this religious hole. We don't really know what we're looking for. I mean, I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of the fact that you guys are here, and you're looking for something. But what are you looking for? You see, there are people in our lives that don't really have kind of a faith, but they're looking for something. And I mean, you can say they're looking for relationships and success and all that, but they're looking for something. And the question though is, why are humans bent on looking? You know, why is it? See, I think this series reminds me that when Jesus shows up and he introduces people to God, he's talking about a God who is very counterintuitive to all the other gods out there. Because Jesus presents himself not necessarily with all the answers, but he asks the most important questions. He's the guy who comes in and goes, why do you do this? Why do you think this way? Why do you act this way? Why do you treat this person like this? What do you think? He's always asking humanity questions. And see, I think we've been presented like Jesus is the what? Answer, right? You got billboards, people. He's the answer to everything. We drove by that the other day, right? Jesus is the answer to every problem you have. And I'm like, not true. Okay, it's not true. I'm hungry. I got a problem. Jesus is not the answer to that. I get the sentiment behind it. But see, I do believe that Jesus is the question to everything. He is the question to everything. The question of why you are lonely and why you are upset and why you struggle with fear and why you deal with anxiety, why you have so much hatred, why do you feel so unhappy, why are you so lonely? He is the question to it. And he wants to ask you that question. And so this series of talks is going to be about that. And so what I want to do is I want to, for this morning, I want to just talk about the idea of who God is and versus the God that Jesus describes, okay? Because there are two different things. So for example, like if you grew up in a particular faith, there is this idea like this is how you get to God. Okay, so let me read you a couple of thoughts here, okay? Number one is like for example, culture. Okay, there are certain religions that use culture as a way, as a vehicle to understand God. Islam is like that. So you have to kind of act like and be a part of the culture to understand who God is all about. Other religions do that too, but Islam does a lot of that. So what I mean by that is like, for example, in Islam, you have to reach God, to understand God, you have to learn the language. You didn't know that? Yeah, you had to learn the language. Not all of it, but see, the prayers are only in Arabic. That's it. There's no other language. So you have to become part of the culture. And in fact, the more Muslim a person is based on how much of the culture, the Arab culture, they have taken in. It's just how it works. So people go, okay, this is how you connect to God. I have to change my culture to leave my culture. Now, Christianity will do that too. Like control and abusive Christianity will say, you have to become more westernized to become like Jesus. You have to leave your traditional Middle Eastern faith and or culture and do that. You have to become something else. But I think Islam does it the most, I would say. Okay, nothing wrong with it, but I'm just saying this is what how they present it. The other religions out there, besides culture, is this idea of rituals. Rituals. This is how you connect to God. Rituals are like if you grew up or you know someone who is Hindu. Anybody know anybody who's Indian, Hindu? Okay, they have a lot of rituals. And what I mean by that is that they are so, committed to rituals that they will have altars in their house. And so I don't know if you've ever been to a house that has altars. I've been in, and it's the strangest thing. We've actually been doing a group, we call it Starting Point, and it's about faith. And we've had some really interesting people there. And one of them was talking about growing up, like his family was Buddhist and he's from the Philippines. And he was talking about how they have different altars in his house. Like they've got a Buddha altar and they've got a Jesus altar. And I know one of my best friends in India, if he's listening to this, because he's randomly listens to all kinds of stuff. He's like, dude, I've got the best altar. I've got Jesus. He's in the middle. And I've got Krishna over here. And I'm like, okay, bro, this he loves it. He loves it. There are people in this world that connect to God because of rituals, and they have altars at home. It's part of the thing. And so all these things are like basically this religion is telling us this is how you connect to God. Well, then there's others, right? Like, for example, in the Buddhist ideology, there's no God figure, but you connect to the divine by contemplation. So contemplation is the thing, okay? It's not rituals, it's not culture, it's contemplation. It's you getting yourself in a point where you have all the time in the world. Obviously, contemplation is great for people who don't work, okay? But for the rest of us, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could create Zen, the problem is you gotta do laundry and you gotta make dinner. I mean, that's tough to do. Okay, no shade on them. It's just that contemplation is really great. But the only way a person can reach nirvana is that they have the time and space to do it. And so that's why the leaders of the Buddhist movements always are single adults and they live up in a mountain somewhere. You know what I'm saying? They got time to do that. Now, again, I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying, is there a better way to connect to God with instead of adopting a culture, doing rituals, contemplation? Well, then you've got Christianity. Christianity, let's just say the Catholic Church, right? You are introduced and you have a relationship with God, not through contemplation, but through institution. Institution, that's how you do it. So you're like, I kind of grew up in that faith. Yeah, like that's how, because they go, you have to be part of the institution. And if you're not part of the institution, the things you do are not valid, right? If you have to be baptized in the Catholic Church to make it count. You have to have communion in, like through the priest, with the priest. You have to, you want to get baby dedicated. You got to do all of whatever. It has to go through what? The Catholic Mafia. I mean, sorry, the Catholic Church. It has to. I have Italian friends, and they always joke about that whole thing because their country is run by the church and the mafia, and they're like, we don't know which one's different. Anyways, they're all connected. But it's really institution, right? So you get close to God if you give to, if you pledge to, if you do whatever the institution what tells you to do. So that's one way. And maybe you're like, you know what? I think there, I know from friends that they kind of feel that way. Maybe they think that's how you connect to God. Maybe it's not contemplation. It's really part of an institution. I just got to get back to church. I just got to get back to church and my life would be better. Okay. Well, Christianity is so broad though, that it's not just institution. It's also, especially Protestant Christianity. It doesn't say institution. It actually says something else. It says tradition. So you get to God and connect to God through tradition. And you're like, really? Yeah, because most denominations are basically traditions that we're trying to preserve. Like, so the Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church and the Methodist and the First Baptist, Second Baptist, Independent Baptist, Assemblies of God, Church of God. Oh my gosh, there are more, you know? Nazarene, Jesuits. I mean, there is a tradition that you have to kind of like go with, and if you stop doing that tradition, you are no longer Baptist, you are no longer whatever. They have traditional views, traditional beliefs, they have traditional ideas, and they have a traditional way of getting to God. That's their tradition. And if you move out of that, you no longer, you have maybe backslided. Have you ever heard that? Backsliding, right? I call it moonwalking away from God, okay? You just kind of, okay, but you're not really doing that. You're actually just moving away from the tradition. And that's why I think if you're watching and if you're here, I think Mosaic is the most non-traditional people. Okay, you're all of those. You're like, you know, we want something else. We want something else. And so I feel like it's really primed for us to have this conversation because Jesus says, hey, there's actually a different way to reach the Father. And it's not through tradition. It's not through contemplation, not institution, not rituals, no, not even culture. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Now we've heard that before. You're like, okay, I've heard that before. But the kind of relationship Jesus is talking about is a church-less faith. And what I mean by that is like when I say church, I mean institution. So it's a non or institutional faith that you and I have got to be introduced to God first without the church. Now I love the story of myself saying, you know, I tell people, you know, I met Christ before I met the church. And that's true because, I mean, I met him in my room and it was kind of that kind of a deal. But most of us met God, met Jesus even through the church. And so what we've had is we've always had a church-filled faith. Good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. You've always had that. And so your relationship with God, even though you don't want it, is through that. And but the problem is that you and I, when we read the scriptures, we'll find that Jesus says that we have to have a churchless faith first. Now, I'm all about the church. I mean, we drive home the idea that we are on a mission. As a church, right? We want to reclaim the message in the movement of Jesus. We believe that we are church. We have a podcast that Kristen leads and hosts called Becoming Church. We're all about that. But if you're like, I want to reset my relationship with God, it starts with you and I going, I got to have a church-less faith first. First. Check this out. Acts 17, Paul, who's a guy who had institutional faith because he grew up as a Pharisee, he grew up as a religious leader, had an encounter with God, and then he goes out and he starts talking to people about God. And this passage is like really a great passage for all of us to go, you know, wow, this is what God wants us to do. So here, let me just start this off, okay? Acts 17, he's going into a crowd of people and he's talking to them and he says this. He says, people of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. And I was walking through town and actually observing your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, okay? To what? To an unknown God. He's like, listen, guys, I went around your town and you guys are so religious. You guys are so longing to understand who God is. You have actually a plaque that says, we don't know. We want to cover everybody. Like, we want to cover everybody. We know some are saints or some are gods, but to the unknown God. And then Paul goes right into that and goes, okay, let me just tell you about the God that knows you that you've never known. That maybe you've thought you knew, but you didn't. He says this, he goes on, he says, what you worship as unknown, what you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made with what hands? Human hands. He doesn't live in temples. So now Paul is reframing, dismantling some of the things that these people have grown up with. Now, these are Greeks as well. They're intellectual. They're religious. I mean, they've got the gamut. But he's breaking that down. He says, hey, I just want you to know. I want you to know that he doesn't live in these temples. Nor is God served by human hands as though he needed what? Needed what? Something. See, the Athenians, all they knew about the gods is the gods always needed something. They always needed something. They needed homage. They needed to be appeased. They needed so many things. They needed sacrifice, obedience. They needed all these things. They needed to be pleased all the time. And then he starts and saying, he doesn't need anything. And he created everything. He doesn't need anything. And he created what? Everything. And he says, since he is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else. And then he goes on. He says, from one person, God created every human nation to live on the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their lands. God made the nations so they would seek him and perhaps even reach out to him and find him. In fact, God isn't, help me out, God isn't what? Far away from any one of us. Any one of us. You know what's interesting? Sometimes people will say, you know, we got to reach people who are far away from God. I'm like, who? Who? Who are those people? Aliens? What are we talking about? But because we're here, it says, God isn't far away from any of us. In God, we live, move, and exist. And as one of your poets said, we are his what? Offsprings. We're his offsprings. See, Paul is changing the conversation about God. He's talking about how Jesus comes in. He says, Jesus is redefining what it means to understand who God is. And it starts with you and I understanding this, that he's not a God who is far off. See, you and I can never understand a God who is far off unless we understand the God who is in us. And you might go, what kind of mumbo jumbo is that? It's the fact that you and I were created in his image and we live and breathe in him, that he is inside of us. Now, the human race, the entire human race, has a spiritual DNA that started a long time ago. That every human out there, regardless of faith, regardless of gender, regardless of sexuality, regardless of whatever you want to, any definitions that we can put on humans, regardless, we have a God DNA that was given to us from the beginning because we were created by him. And so therefore, since we have a God DNA, we have a God potential. Everyone has. That there is, because you were created, there is a voice inside of you. Some of us clearly hear it. Some of us faintly hear it. But there's a voice of the Creator speaking and informing you and calling you. And that's why you and I keep looking. We keep wanting. We keep searching. There's got to be more. That's why we stop and go, why am I here? We ask the most important questions in life. Do you know what your pet does? It does not ask that question. But guess what we do? We ask that. Why? Because the voice of the Creator inside of us asks that question as well. Because Jesus is the guy. Jesus is the person who goes, he is the question to everything in life. Before he is the answer, he is the question. And so what he does here, he's talking about how he changed Paul's life, is Paul understood the kind of God that Jesus was talking about. So what was it? What is this church-less God or faith? What kind of God did Jesus talk about when he talked about his Father? People ask me all the time. They're like, hey, so Islam and Christianity. So is Allah, which is the God of Islam, right? The word God in Arabic is the word Allah, okay? It's not like an idol. It's just Allah. That's how you do. La ilaha illallah. Like, there's only one God, but Allah. One God. Now, some of you guys are like, oh, isn't that a Muslim chant? No, it's an Arabic phrase, okay? It's God. Now, what people say, well, hold on, is Allah and God the same, like the Christian God? And I go this, I say, well, the better question is the God of Islam the father of Jesus? And then people go, oh, well, I don't know about that. I'm like, that's the real question, really. Is it? Because there is, like, is there two gods? I'm like, no, no. Do we know the real one? Listen, I have a lot of friends and people have opinions about me. Okay? If you ask my mom to describe me, okay, which would be hilarious. Should be a video, we'll do that. Okay? She'll give you all kinds of, like, this is what Naeem is. If you ask my wife, Ashley, to describe me, they're not going to match. Does it make me two people? No. No, it doesn't. So when Jesus says, hey, let me introduce you to God. Here's who God is. I think we need to lean in and go, okay, what are you talking about? So what does he say? What does he talk about? Well, Jesus, first of all, says this God, regardless of what you think, regardless of your institution, religion, regardless of your rituals, number one, I need you to know that God is very personal. He's extremely personal. And he tells this to a guy, Philip. And Philip is a guy who doubts everything. Do you know anybody who doubts everything? Like, they just don't trust. How many of you really trust? You trust people? Okay. I might be the worst because I leave my keys in the car. Okay. Yeah, I do. I'm terrible at that. Okay. But there's some people who just don't trust. Philip was that one of that guy. And Jesus says this to him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me. And if you really knew me, you would know my Father too. But now you do know him and you have seen him. Now, this conversation is where Philip and Jesus are having a conversation about God. Philip is looking at him and saying, where is God? Who is he? And then Jesus says, I want you to know that if you're looking at me, you've seen the Father. And Philip is like, that's cute, but tell me something more. Like, what's really happening here? What's going on? And Jesus says, he makes a statement where he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, if you grew up in a tradition, you've heard this, right? That there's only one way to God, and that is through what? Jesus. Now, that makes it extremely exclusive. No other way. You know what's really happening here? Jesus is introducing people to a God who wants an individual relationship with his people. He says here, there's no way that you can have a relationship with God without me. What he means by that is that God wants a unique relationship with you. That means there's no rituals, there's no ceremony, there's no like, hey, everybody do this and we're all good. Everybody does the culture, we're all good. No. You, the only way you're going to have a relationship with God is have a personal relationship with him. So when he's talking to Philip, he goes, Philip, you know me. What does that mean? You and I have a relationship, Philip, me, which is different from Peter, me, which is different from John, me, which is different from Mark, me. I want you to know that there's not one way. It's one relationship. It's a relationship, but it's going to look very different. It's going to look extremely different. Have you ever walked into a crowd of people and they're talking about sports and you're like, I have no idea what they're talking about? Okay. Some of you guys are like, that's my people. That's my people. See, there are people that I talk to about sports. Well, I don't, but there are people I talk. There are people that talk about art. Okay. And TV shows, anybody TV shows. I'm all about that. Music, all those things. I have a particular relationship with them. Here's the point. When Jesus says this, he's saying no one can have a relationship to God for you. It's only a personal connection. And you don't have to do anything else. And this is, it's not exclusive, it's inclusive. I want a personal, individual relationship with each and every. God is that God who wants to know you and wants you to know a part of him that no one else will know. So the God, number one, is very personal. Number two, this God is supernatural. He is supernatural. And there's a Celtic Christian phrase called endiglas. Okay, endiglas. Endiglas means wild goose. Okay, why is that important? Have you ever heard the phrase wild goose chase? The Celtic Christians used to call the Holy Spirit endiglas, wild goose. A wild goose that you can never catch. And so the phrase wild goose chase probably came from there. And so when we understand that this God that's infinite loves the chase. And as soon as you catch him, he slips out of your hands. You're like, what does that have to do with spirituality? That's the beauty of it. So there was a religious guy who went to Jesus one night. He was a guy who was part of the Pharisees and all that. And he was like, hey, I know you're doing some amazing things. I'm all about intellect. I'm all about knowledge. You're all obviously a rabbi. I respect that. You've done some things that no one else can do. You know things that no one else could know. Help me out here. What are you really saying about God? Like, I need to know, because you're doing some things that are blowing our Jewish minds. And so this is Nicodemus, goes to him and says, what do we need to do to have eternal life? Like, how do you connect to God? Because obviously you do. And then Jesus tells him this. Maybe you've heard this. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born what? Again, you cannot be in God's kingdom. Nicodemus says, but if a person is already old, how can be born again? He can't enter his mother's womb again. So how can a person be born a second time? But Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, unless you are born from water and the Spirit, you cannot enter God's kingdom. Human life comes from human parents, but spiritual life comes from the Spirit. Don't be surprised when I tell you, you must be born again. He's blowing his mind here. He's saying the Spirit is the mother who's going to conceive your spiritual life. What is going on here? Now, if you didn't read this in context, you'd be like, this is New Age stuff. But this is Jesus saying, I want you to know that this God is extremely personal. He wants to know you, but he's extremely supernatural. He's beyond your capacity to understand. So if you think religion is you doing what you can do through relationship rituals, contemplation, institution, tradition, to grow yourself spiritually, it doesn't work. See, I want you to know the weight of this, because Nicodemus is one of those guys who gave his whole life to that. He gave his whole life to be spiritual. Now, we give a couple of days, a couple of times. You know what I'm saying? That's it. He gave his whole life to it. And here, Jesus says, you can't do it. You can't do it. You have to be born from the inside out. And the only way it happens is this endigloss who does it. And by the way, you can never chase him, her down. The Spirit is always going. It's moving, right? Thanks, Trevor. And what's profound about that, friends, is that we think that as soon as we understand God, we become more spiritual. Hear me. Once we understand a truth, we get more spiritual. We feel that. But that's just satisfying our brain. We get more spiritual when we run after more of God, when we love the chase, when we're more curious. That is when you get more spiritual. The moment you stop your spirituality is you go, I know everything there is to know. And I'm just going to repeat my tradition. But when you go, I don't know. I don't know. There's so much I want to know. If you're hungry, that is a sign you're spiritual. If you're fed and you're full, you're done. You're done. And so Nicodemus is like, hold on, I just needed to know this. And he says, then you will never know. It's not in the knowing. It's in the asking. It's not about getting the answers. It's always about what? Asking the questions again and again and again. He says, God is personal, but God is supernatural. And he will do things and let you know about some things that does not make sense, and they are beyond reason. And lastly, he says is, God is accessible to all. See, the conversation didn't end there. Then after that, Jesus says, hey, you must be born again. And then Jesus says something that we haven't heard in context. Here's the context. He keeps on going and he says, just as Moses, remember Moses? Nicodemus is like, okay, Moses, we know, everybody knows Mo, you know? Okay, Moses, Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, hold on, what? Have you ever seen, do you know the icon for a pharmacy? Have you noticed that? You're like, look it up. Not right now. You're like, okay, I'm Googling it right now. Images. You'll always see a what? A snake. A staff and a snake. Or a bowl and a snake. Have you ever asked the question, why? It all goes back to a moment in Jewish history where Moses took up the staff, lifted up the staff, it turned into a snake. There was a healing power that took place. And that's why we, Westerners, have adopted that icon. But that healing power healed everyone. It was an inclusive corporate kind of an include everybody. And so he says here, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man will also be lifted up so that everyone who believes can have what? Eternal life in him. And then he says, and here's why. Here's why. Here's why God made it accessible to all. It doesn't matter your religion, your nationality, didn't matter anything. It was for all. It's accessible to all. And here's why. Why is that? Why is that? He says, here's why. Because God did what? Loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world, what? Through him. See, Jesus is saying, I need you to understand this. The world needs to understand this. He loves us all. He loves us all. He loves us all, and he's made a way for all of us to know him personally, personally and supernaturally. He loves us all. But it starts with this. What do you think? Who do you think Jesus is? Who do you believe Jesus is? Who is it? Who is it? See, I think sometimes we wait for people like me or their institution or your tradition to answer the questions that your soul is asking. And the problem is that the questions your soul is asking cannot be answered by any institution or by any person. It can't. Jesus said it this way. I'll read this to you. He says, Luke 17, some Pharisees asked him, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus answered, the kingdom of God is coming, but not in the way that you are able to see with your own eyes. People will not say, look, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is what? Is within you. See, Jesus reminds us that because we were made the way we were, our soul will keep on asking the question, God, are you out there? Are you real? Can I know you? And Jesus asked the question, do you hear me? Do you hear me within your soul? Why don't you respond? If you want to understand who God is, begin talking to the voice that is speaking to you. Understand that he doesn't live in temples or in churches. He lives inside of you. He created you. He wants to know you. And then chase after him. Go after him. See, I think that's the reason why Jesus. Because all the other options will, in one sense, gatekeep you from God. Hey, this is how you do it. This is what you need to know, what you need to do, how you need to act, how you need to live, what you need to say. And Jesus goes, hey, this is it. No, it's not. It's not. It's none of those things. It's none of those things. So I hope for week one, this is our conversation. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Let's pray. And maybe there are people in your life that maybe could use this in your office, in your workspace. They can use this and maybe you could share this. And that way we can reclaim what it really means to know and understand who God truly is. And allow people to have freedom in knowing who God is without all the trappings of institution or anything else. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much. God, I feel like we have to do a whole series on what does it mean to spend time with you? Because even this moment as we are praying, what are we really doing? I know we're saying words, and for some of us, we're just quiet. For some of us, we're just trying to focus because other things are grabbing our attention. The truth is, God, for so many of us, there is a longing inside of us to know you more. And though we feel like we are consumed with so many things, we know that if we stop and consider how we have got here in this moment, we will be so grateful. So God, I pray you overwhelm us in the next couple of minutes that we have. That God, I pray the voice inside of us, your spirit, would speak to us in ways that, God, that we've never heard before. Some of us are looking for answers, but it's really the question. It's really the question that we need to confront, that we need to grasp. God, I pray, would you do what only you can do? And as we respond, as we go to the cross, maybe some of us will receive communion. Maybe others of us will go light a candle. God, whatever you do this morning, let us know it's very personal. It's tailored to us. So God, I thank you for that. Let's respond together.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.